Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and at its peak around the year 2000, the web accounted for more than 50% of all internet traffic in the United States. With the explosion of online video and peer-to-peer communication software, that number has shrunk to around 23% of total internet use, prompting Wired magazine reporters Chris Anderson and Michael Wolff to offer a post-mortem analysis that they call the death of the World Wide Web. Their article entitled, "The Web is Dead, Long Live the Internet," blames the decline on two things and argues persuasively for each. Anderson blames our own predilections and the inevitable course of capitalism for narrowing our internet use to things that we can get easily through the world of apps. Wolff blames them, deep-pocketed businessmen seeking to control the web like the media moguls who controlled radio and television. Joining us now to discuss the death of the web and the things on the internet that are replacing it is Michael Wolff, contributing editor to Wired, a columnist for Vanity Fair, and one of the co-authors of the article. Hey, Michael, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First of all, let's tell everybody how you define the web in this context and how that definition is different from the internet. Most people use the terms interchangeably.
Well, I this was an internal debate as we wrote this article, too, with Chris saying the web was one thing and me saying the web was another. So I think at the heart of this debate, that question is not exactly resolved. But having said that, remember, what we think of the web is actually a browser. We are looking at something through a browser, a set of protocols, a construct. Whereas the internet itself is a pipe. It just moves things. It is the distribution mechanism of our day. It will be the distribution mechanism of the future. Everything, the overwhelming amount of information that we get will continue to run over the internet. That's not what we're arguing. We're arguing that this thing that we know as web, think of them as websites, are more and more a thing of the past.
Which means what? The article is broken into two branches of analysis. In one, you argue that the internet is falling under the control of individuals. I guess that gets away from the Wild
right.
West
and,
kind
and,
of
and
open
I think it's,
source.
I think it's helpful to think of the internet not only as a piece of technology, helpful to think of the web as not only a piece of technology, but as a piece of culture. And the culture of the web has been leveled. It has been free for all, low barriers to entry. Anybody can do it, and that has produced. I used to know this number, and it has vastly exceeded my reach. But billions of websites, anybody can be somebody on the web. And part of what we're saying is that's probably no longer true. That there are forces that have moved into this space which are overwhelming. They are traditional.
Big business.
It's not so much. Yes, it's not big business as we. It's sort of new big business. I mean, in the classic example would be Facebook. Facebook is something that you reach over the web. I think people can think of it as the web, but it actually is something quite separate from the web itself. As a matter of fact, one of the effects of Facebook is to keep people from going to the web. Everybody is satisfied with what they find. Not everybody, but many people spend an enormous amount of time on Facebook itself, never venturing out to the web.
Virginia Heffernan in the New York Times wrote that the web is like the city where everybody goes and mingles with everybody else, and it's this big public square, public universe. Apps are the suburbs. And so now people, whoever can afford it, buying all these fun apps and segregating themselves. Sure, are you saying, in effect, the same thing?
Well, I always distrust whatever the New York Times says about this because they know nothing about it. That's why they're at the New York Times.
Well, maybe Virginia knows something, but go ahead.
So I probably do disagree with that. I don't know what that means. I think apps are replacing major pieces of functionality. I mean, what the web has been is it's supposed to do stuff for us. So on top of that culture of free for all, what we look to the web is a kind of a level of pure functionality. Mm-hmm. That's what apps offer. And you don't have to go to the web. It's actually better technology. Apps represent, in many instances, much better technology. And quite possibly, we still don't know this, they represent a much better business model.
Are there going to be hardcore users who, in your model, prefer the wide open aspects of the web, who'll still be able to get their information and their sense of community through the World Wide Web? Or do you think we're going to be seeing more things like what happens when you Google a name and you get a hit on Facebook, but then you have to log in to get more?
I think we'll be seeing more of that. I mean, does the web truly go away? No. But what happens to it is it becomes lesser, possibly extremely marginalized, ghettoized, if you will. Or I think you can apply this analysis and say it becomes one part of this experience. And, you know, curiously, it's not just the web that's at issue here. It's really Google. Because curiously, when I say that there has been this rise of these other powers, the Zuckerberg power that controlling Facebook, you know, one of the things that's happened to the web is that there was the rise of Google. Google controls the web. And partly what we're seeing is a business reaction to that. Google so controls the web that nobody else can get into it. Therefore, if you are one of these, an incipient or would-be mogul, what you have to do is build essentially an alternative, which Apple is doing, which Facebook is doing, which arguably Netflix is doing, this new company, Spotify, which everybody is talking about, they're doing.
What does Spotify do?
Spotify is it's actually a peer-to-peer music sharing service, which is in Europe and is not coming to the U.S., but it is, the difference is that it's legal.
And your co-author, Chris Anderson, makes the argument that the death of the web is brought about by people searching for products that actually deliver what we want when we want it, not a series of inexact and open-ended queries. Do you think that spells the end of Google and its open-ended search box?
Well, I think it spells an alternative to it. I mean, very clearly, it is important to remember that what we're talking about is technology here at its heart. And the point about technology is functionality. What does what piece of technology does what best and most efficiently? And as soon as you start to say this does it better than that, then there would be no reason not to use this. I mean, you don't say, yes, but I want the open culture of the web. I believe in the culture of the web. I believe in all of that too. But if something does something better, cheaper, faster, well, you know, I'm human too.
To be contrarian on the thesis for a minute, is the web still not the open, not anybody can make it, but a lot of people have access to having an impact in the media, certainly beyond the old, you know, three network days before the internet as we know it. Hyperlocal blogs are springing up in many places to deal with community issues where the professional press has abandoned them. Things like that. We hear about new apps. I realize apps aren't exactly the web. We hear about new websites becoming hits. I think in Chris's section, he makes a point about that whenever a service gets overbearing or unwieldy on the web, the next new thing sort of comes along and sweeps it away. So there's still opportunity here in a way that there wasn't in old media?
Well, I think that there is opportunity. There's the opportunity for anyone to participate In this, and that's a good thing, and that will, I think, continue to be genuine and real and available. The problem here is now, as it has always been, it's hard to make a business here. It's hard to make a buck, and I think that that many of the new forces here are not about I want my voice, but I want my money. I want to organize this in a way that is. That is sustainable, that pays, that is a that's media, and I think that's what's going on now is a new analysis of the web, which says, in fundamental ways, business ways, the web hasn't worked, doesn't work, and probably won't work. So we have to find a new way.
So more and more, it's going to be gambling and pornography and. Dating services and other things that can actually make money online?
No. First thing, I mean, pornography doesn't make money online, and dating services are sort of equivocal. I think it's going to be media. I mean, it is going to be the kind of structure of that gives us information, entertains us, holds our interest, does the things that we want it to do. Organizes our information lives and does this in a way that either people will pay for or advertisers will pay enough for to make it sustainable.
So is it presumptuous to ask the question, is that good or bad for culture? Is that good or bad for democracy?
Well, I think media is good. Can be good for culture. Can be bad for culture, I suppose. I think it's genuinely good for democracy if there is media that can support itself. I think media that doesn't support itself is ultimately a kind of futile gesture and probably not that good for democracy. Let me just give you another example because I think it goes to the heart of this argument. Netflix. Netflix has become, in a relatively short period of time, a vibrant, viable movie service. And I think what you can see that developing into is HBO. I think probably HBO is as imperiled as the web is imperiled. This is a better way to serve us movies, to serve us programming, to meet our entertainment needs. And it is, of course, over the internet, but not of the web.
We have 30 seconds. HBO is arguably the best producer of creative content on television in the last decade or so. Are you saying that Netflix, which is just a distribution service at the moment, could become that?
That's exactly what HBO started at. They license a bunch of movies. That's what Netflix has done. And I think inevitably you can see Netflix becoming a programmer.
All right. And there we leave it with Michael Wolff, who with Chris Anderson has written an article in Wired that is getting a tremendous amount of debate, discussion, attention, and rightfully so. It's called The Web is Dead. Long live the Internet. Michael Wolff, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.